podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family. Jalan, 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 jalan.
It is my mate Bought Toaster. Welcome back. Hope you're all doing well. I've got a fabulous guest on today. I'm absolutely thrilled to welcome him. And I've been after him for ages. I really love this guy. He's a fantastic stand-up comedian, brilliant radio host, very, very lucrative voiceover as well. And I definitely didn't book him because I was browsing Twitter and he did quite a good tweet and I thought, oh, fuck it, I'll have Charlie Baker on. That definitely didn't happen. Okay, Charlie?
What a lovely intro. Quite a good tweet. Some lies about my career. And then here we are. It's like I've got nothing else to do on a Monday morning.
Yeah, it was pretty quick. The response back from you was like, "Zing, yes."
Yes, okay. No, only because I like your podcast, Tom.
Oh, thanks, love. Aren't you
nice? If I didn't like your podcast, I'd be like,
Oh, that's nice. I feel bad now because you've started with a compliment and all I've said about you is I sort of got you on by accident, which is
Tom,
rude.
You go low, I go high.
Thank you, mate.
That's how I live my life.
That's certainly what our voiceover agents do as well. So now, listen, Charlie Baker, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What am I going to do, right? Because too often I start this podcast with flim flam on waffle, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm trying to...
I love that double act, don't you? They're so good.
Flim flam and waffle. Huge during the war.
I'm flim flam and I'm waffle.
And together we're talking shite. My point is I want to just dive straight in, okay? Because that's what...
Get in.
That's what a good format does. You switch Top Gear on, straight into the cars.
Do I need to look at the history as we go along, or are you just going to spring surprises on me?
Put it this way, right? If I had one of those microscopic cameras and I was popping it up your bum right now to have a little look around...
Actually, I have just bought one of those off Amazon.
We'll get to that.
What a great link.
How many stars? One brown star. And
there
you go. And if I was doing that as a doctor, would you turn to the turn to the screen to look and see what was happening, or would you turn away and let the doctor get on with it?
I'd let you get on with it.
There you go.
When I'm quite fascinated by that, when we had our first child and my wife had a cesarean section, they took her womb out and I started looking at it, and I thought, this is the only opportunity I'll ever get to see a womb in like real life and insides of somebody. So I had a really good look. So actually, I've lied to you there.
In terms of my ability to have a follow-up question, I put myself behind no one in my ability to have a follow-up question. But the follow-up question to, I had a look at my wife's womb. There is no follow-up question.
Well,
wow.
I'll never get the chance ever again, will I? So
no, I mean, is it like a sort of, what is it like a sort of hemp, one of those hemp daunt book bags or something?
Yes, it's along those, like a tote. It's like, it had made in Berkshire written on it, which I thought was just really interesting.
So did you tell her you were doing that or did you not?
She was out, Tom. She was out cold. So we'd had a 36-hour labour. She wasn't interested in me looking at her womb.
Well, listen, she should go on One Torn Every Minute, which is my wife's podcast, where they talk about childbirth. We'll sort that out afterwards.
Yeah, well, she'd love that. Yeah, okay. Great. Okay. Great, yeah. Great title.
There you go.
First.
It's all about the title first, mate. It's all about the title first. Let's go. We're going to dive right back.
She had Natalie Imbruglia on that yet?
No, you know, Natalie Imbruglia. Only very recently had her first child. You know, that it was like last year, I think.
Oh, really?
And everyone had the
same joke.
Like, well, that song's going to have a whole new resonance for you. Let's not dwell. So 15th of June, 2009.
Oof, okay.
Right? Yeah. You've gone for the Coleman Modulus X5. And I'd like you to tell me, Charlie, right? I'm going to quiz you. What is a Coleman Modulus X5.
That is a tent, Tom. That is a tent. And I bought that tent because I'd already bought another tent drunk on eBay. And, and it turned up and we could not, I couldn't put it up. We wanted a big tent. And we had some friends at the time who were real big campers and they'd bought a Coleman Modulus X5. And I thought it looked pricey for a tent, Tom. So I bought this other tent on eBay that turned up and was absolute dog shit.
And that's your mistake.
We put it up in their garden. They were like, and it like almost blew away. And like, so it was really bad tent. So I sent that one back and then just bought exactly the same one as they had, the Coleman one. But now, of course, that's in our loft. Oh, it's a great tent, but who can be bothered getting out the massive tent?
Well, it's an absolutely enormous tent. It's got an awning. at the front. Yeah. It's got, so you go in, you've got a little hallway, a little tent hallway, and then you've got a module on your left for sleeping and a module on your right for sleeping as well. So it's a proper sort of, it's one of those tents. It's so big, you'd need to give people directions to find your room.
Brilliant tent, right? But I've only ever really had bad luck with it as well. Like
we
went camping to Cornwall in it, and it was like middle of May, and it dropped to -1 in the night. And we had, and my son at the time will have been 3 or 4. So absolutely horrific. You know, camping's horrible at the best time, and I love camping. Yeah. So that was a bit bad. And then my wife and I, we took it to Latitude Festival. Mm-hmm. And I was filming something on the Monday morning, but I went to Latitude Festival. I'd been asked to do the main comedy tent. Bit of a good sort of gig to get when you're pretty early in your career.
Yeah, hanging out with Robin Ince and Josie.
Yeah, exactly. Brilliant.
Yeah,
so
all that gang. Yeah,
set the tent up. Didn't do a great job. We fell out a lot putting it up. Then I had my set, and on the way to my set, I bumped into a director and an actor, and I got a job in their sitcom, and then they changed the director, and this new director didn't want me in the sitcom. So removed me from the sitcom. So I had to have a chat with them, just like small talk.
You bumped into the director who ditched you.
And the lead actor. And this was like, luckily the sitcom wasn't a huge success. So I had to have a chat with them, like very small talk, and sort of say, oh, that's all. You'll feel my pain here, Tom. I'm assuming you've been in similar situations to these.
I would say, Charlie, we have quite similar careers. We're both sort of fannying around show-offs who, you know, am I a comic? I'm more of an MC. Yeah. I just talk absolute shit. And I have this sort of acting sideline, which sometimes becomes more than a sideline. Yeah. And then very often, like you, I have also been sacked from sitcoms, which have then also not done too well. And I may have contributed to that with online reviews.
I think people don't mind. They'll be all right. Tom will be all right. He'll survive. It'll be okay.
Yeah. He's a really nice guy. Yeah. He's really nice, Charlie. He's such a nice
guy.
He'll
put up with it. Yeah. And as was shown by me walking to the stage to do my set and having to chat to these people for 10 minutes of small talk and also making them feel all right about themselves for removing me from their project.
So you ended up consoling them.
Do you know what I mean? Anyway, there we are. So then went, of course, did the gig, was on after Mickey Flanagan.
You're absolutely
and
doomed.
At the same time as me, Tom York, the Radiohead singer, did a surprise solo set. So there's me going, all right, yeah, anyone here ever been to Devon? Pink plastic watering cans. Everyone leaves the tent. And then absolutely disaster. So we went back, packed up the tent and went home.
Did you go back
just
that
went
day?
Home. Just didn't even stay in the tent. Just packed it up, left.
I like the idea that you'd come back from the gig and wordlessly pack up. So your wife's like, Charlie, what's happened? Charlie, talk to me. Just going to put the poles back.
Just silently. Oh. Yeah. And anyway, we've never taken the complete tent out because it comes in two bags. And so we've taken, it's a really good tent. And one day we will use it again. But I've got about 4 tents. I really love camping.
Yeah, I can tell. Well, you need to set up your own festival.
Hey, that'd be nice. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Stick all those out.
What a good idea.
So, I mean, this is the thing. This is what's quite nice about this podcast is that we can not rake over. What's the thing when you're digging and you sort of churn over the mud and you have a look in there?
It's memories, isn't it? You know, what does that tent trigger in me? Well,
it's obviously triggering career disaster. But also, most importantly, it's reminding you of things sitting in your loft, those items in your loft, which are saying, please, Daddy, use me.
Maybe it's like a bad vibe, though, in that maybe it's like, you know, when something's in the house and it's dragging the house down, you know, maybe it's caused a lot of, you know, although we've had a lot of nice things happen in this house, so maybe it's not.
Do you think maybe some sort of tent exorcist could be on the cards?
Yeah, along those lines, wouldn't that be lovely? That'd be great. I mean, I've been into a lot of tents that smell like the devil's been in them.
Well, this one wouldn't have that because this one's got a cool airport.
Listen, it's a great tent. If people are considering a three-room three-section tent with an awning that holds...
It's got a left wing, it's got an awning, it's got a left wing and a right wing. Yeah. Obviously, if you go to latitude, you just use
only the left wing.
Wing.
Hey, whoa, hey.
Thank you.
Who's,
stop it.
Good evening.
Why was I never booked? Guys, hello.
It's a great... If anyone's... It's fully waterproof and it's a great tent. It's just in big bags. And these... It's heavy and big bags. And these days, you can get a lot lighter, you know, ones that blow up. Basically.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, isn't it? You can get the ones to pop up. Also, I would say the reviews are great news. I mean, we've got a bigger than expected. Lots of people talking about erections. So if you're looking
are these
for...
the reviews of me at latitude or
No, those have been burnt, sadly. Those have all gone.
They should.
So that is the Coleman Modulus tent. Very nice,
nice
indeed. A strong start, Charlie.
Thanks.
Baker.
Good.
Let's move on. Talking of strong, Jeremy Strong Collection, a 10 books box set.
What is
the Jeremy Strong Collection? I can give you the blurb if you'd like.
Yeah,
this will help
on.
You. It might be. It's by Puffin, so I'm sensing kids.
Jeremy Strong kids, but this sounds like a present. This sounds like we've got hundreds of nieces and nephews and godchildren and just friends with kids. There's hundreds of kids running around, and it's like this sounds like one of the more bookish children who we know.
Right?
Because my son especially is not a big reader, so this doesn't sound like we've bought this for him. This sounds like one of the more, we've got friends who went to Oxford and Cambridge and things, you know, and
another one.
And we really realize that when we see them and they are sitting down reading a book and doing their homework without a massive fight, where we've gone wrong as parents, you know.
But you realize it's genetic.
It is genetic, isn't it, Tom? I really believe that it is. You know, the fact that my daughter now is four puts on shows already. You know, we've not shown her how to do that or she's never seen me at work. But the fact...
Because your wife's an actor as well,
isn't she? Yeah, she's an actor, yeah.
So your kids are absolutely doomed. I mean, the thing is, I honestly feel like I try and show my kids way more love and affection than my parents showed me, which I'm not going to lie to you, Charlie, not too tricky.
Oh, okay.
one hug in 2015 and I've actually done it.
Oh, well, great news.
But let's not go into that. And I thought that's going to be the solution. They're not going to be turns. If I show them the love, they're not going to need the conditional love of an audience to replace the conditional love of their father. Not so much the youngest one. Absolute maniac. He basically comes in every day. He's like, Daddy, let's play some improv games.
Oh great. And you're like, yes, and?
Exactly. Can't block him. Can't
no
block him, mate.
Whoa, you're blocking me, Dad. This is unbelievable.
Exactly.
Well, no, but you try and I've found that the things I've tried, the things that, like, I love sport and I've always loved sport and I always wish I'd played more sport as a kid because I was always I was always dancing and stuff and doing shows, but I always sort of wish I'd had a bigger... sporting life. I did loads of sport, but I wish I'd done more. So I've sort of guided my son towards doing lots of sport. And then you realise, this isn't, you do have a moment of, this isn't for him, is it? This is for you. And so now I just go, you can do whatever you like. You know, you do whatever you like. But we've always taken them to Edinburgh and they've been in Edinburgh and we've always thought, oh, poor kid. He's had, and anyway, the last two or three years, especially this year, he's gone, oh, I really miss... He's 13 now, you know, and he's like, I really miss Edinburgh, you know, and everything seems a bit dull, you know. He normally spends his summer surrounded by drag queens and people juggling fire, you know, at 10 o'clock in the morning. Don't you love that in Edinburgh when someone's on a 10 o'clock in the morning, someone's on a unicycle juggling fire and people are just walking past them.
Yeah.
Just not.
It's no big deal.
It's no big deal.
Whatever.
Just, who cares?
Yeah, it's the equivalent of seeing a Starbucks in London. It's just, it's not a biggie. No, but this is absolutely true. And you cannot do any better than what you're doing. Taking your kids to Edinburgh and just giving them that injection of life and variety and volume as well. Everything's just so loud in Edinburgh and those festivals. And I include latitude and all those stuff, all those things. It's just... It's the best thing you can do. However,
but reading is brilliant though. And the thing is, and reading is such a release and such an escape, especially if as a child you have any anxieties or just looking for a world outside your world sometimes. The fact that reading can give you that is such an angle that if they don't take it, you go, no, that's the path out is to read all those things. So I wish it was for my son that we'd bought the Jeremy Strong books, but I don't think it was. I think it was one of our more intelligent friends' children.
So, okay, not for your thick jeans. Okay, good, good. Well, no, it's nice, nice that you can, you know,
thick jeans was my auntie, actually.
Look, we're going to skip on ahead, yeah, Charlie Baker. Sure. Nothing bought in 2010. I don't know if you,
nothing.
Maybe you just bought a sea of dildos and you've erased them.
Maybe we changed accounts or something. You know, maybe we lost the account. I don't know. I've no idea what happened in 2010.
Well, 2010 is just you go dark. You come back in 2011. Mm-hmm. We've got Working Girl vintage movie poster. Oh, yeah,
that's that would be my wife. 11. That's what she loves, that film. And she particularly likes the song on the end of Working Girl. What is that on the soundtrack?
Oh, that's a great question.
She particularly, that's the sort of thing. Well, let's have a look.
Working Girl
soundtrack movie. Yeah. She particularly likes that song. But it's a great film, isn't it? Working Girl. It's a really, really good film.
Absolutely love it. I've never seen it.
The only thing about posters, I find, you can, unless you frame them when you're in your 40s, you do look like you're trying to be a student again, you know?
Yeah.
Posters up, you know, a Bob Marley poster or something, you know?
You can't do it. You've got to.
I love the Pope smokes dope.
Oh, brilliant. There used to be a big poster sale at my university.
Did they? Yeah. Week.
Yeah. And you'd just go down and you'd fill your room. What did I have? I think I had Morrissey posters in my room.
Oh, lovely. Lovely. Yeah, lovely.
Just to really, just to let people know how racist I was.
Just, you know, really yeah, into the old whole right wing thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. His music's fine, but it's the politics that I'm really after, you know?
Yeah, a poster in your room is, are you allowed it? As you get older, they have to be framed, don't they? It's,
yeah, got to be framed, mate.
I've got one up of Louis Armstrong, the trumpet king of swing in person from 1942.
Oh, yeah.
And you sort of go, I wasn't in that, but that is right up my street, you know.
Quite fun to try and convince your kids that you were.
No, I was in that. Oh, yeah.
Me
and the Louis Armstrong Hot Six. Yeah, I was just down to the last seven for the Hot Six.
then I bumped into the director who'd sacked me off. Very awkward. All right, so hang on. Have we established the song end of Working Girl?
Have you got it?
Let's do that, because otherwise... was it Let the River Run by Carly Simon?
Carly Simon, Let the River Run. Yeah, she loves that song.
Do you know what I can do? I can play a bit of it now.
Oh, beautiful. Well, can you link into it as if you're on Magic FM?
We won't be able to hear it, but in the edit, I'll play it out. So it'll sound, so what we've got to do, right? Right now, we're not going to hear it, but off the back of it, we've got to pretend like we've just heard it, okay? So are you up for that?
I'm up for that, yeah. I'm up for that, yeah. Okay.
There you go. That's a little bit of Carly Simon, Let the River Run.
It's lovely. It's a great record, isn't it? She's brilliant, isn't she? She was married to James Taylor, who's one of my favourite all-time artists. And he was also, he shagged everyone.
Was he very vain?
Yes, hugely vain. No, I think it might be about, I genuinely think it might be about him, that song.
Oh, trust him to think that.
Everyone says Warren Beatty, but I'm quite sure it was James Taylor. But James Taylor shagged absolutely everybody. Like Joni Mitchell shagged everybody.
How do you have this knowledge of who shagged whom in the 70s?
That is my sort of favourite musical period.
Could you do that on Mastermind? No,
Joni Mitchell famously shagged like most of the Eagles, like the Doobie Brothers, like James Taylor, like famously shagged absolutely everybody in that period of music.
Look, here we go. Mitchell's list of lovers boggles, not because of its quantity, but its quality. Leonard Cohen, David Crosby, Graham Nash.
Yeah. Crosby, Stills, not Stills.
Yeah,
Stills. Furious. What's wrong with me?
Stills, absolute munter.
Furious in the corner.
I've got Joan Baez here. Fuck Joan Baez, I want Mitchell.
Stills in the corner, knocking one out.
James Taylor, Jackson Brown, John Gerwin, Sam Shepard.
She had a type, didn't she? She had a real type.
Wow.
Yeah.
The lovers of Joni Mitchell. I'm absolutely serious, Charlie. If you do ever go on Mastermind, Celebrity Mastermind.
I should talk about that, yeah.
People what Joni Mitchell's fucked. That would be
But the thing is, right, so Rolling Stone then brought out this cover, Is She the They had a phrase for it. I can't remember what it was.
Or was it derogatory?
Yeah, well, it was sort of... yes, it was derogatory, basically. Mm. But actually, her thing is, that's... It's up to me, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you go, she's so ahead of her time. She's a time traveler anyway. She's so ahead of her time. She's the best. She's the best singer, songwriter, guitar player of all time,
yes,
bar none. Yes. And if she was a man, everyone would be losing their mind the whole time. She writes the most incredible albums, incredible, and all her songs are about being in love, falling in love, but being the stronger person in the relationship, you know. Basically, the Blue album is about James Taylor. But yeah, but I think James Taylor left Carly Simon for, I don't think it was for Joni Mitchell, but he was a massive heroin addict. So all sorts of trouble. But she's brilliant.
I feel like we've come off the back of Carly Simon and gone into, Carly Simon there. It wasn't Joni Mitchell good. You know what I mean?
If you were
comparing this night, right, and say, Hal Cruttendon's just come off stage and you go on stage and then say, isn't Michael McIntyre great? Like,
yeah, furious.
It's not a good look.
Hello, my name's Beth Murray, and if you'd like to hear funny people talk about giving birth, then have I got the podcast for you.
Poor Richard, he made the schoolboy error of standing up to see the baby while I was on the operating table, and I think that's really not recommended.
You were scarred for life, he was scarred for life. In the latest series of One Torn Every Minute, a whole labour ward of new guests tell me their birth stories in hilarious and graphic detail.
Gas and air can suck my...
That's One Torn Every Minute. Available now on all good podcast platforms.
I suppose you wouldn't do it at all, would you, if you really thought about it?
This is My Mate Bought a Toaster. I'm joined by the fabulous Charlie Baker today. Charlie, I'm in 2011. Mm. There's some great things here. And we've got Live Girls Presents Dogtown Series 1. Might there be a reason why we have that?
Yes, because my wife was in that. Yes. And did a series of that and then had my son. So she was right at the beginning of BBC Three when they were commissioning comedy. And her and Emma and Beth Kilcoyne, who are sisters and now big writers and write loads of stuff, they wrote a series and they were a sketch show. And they had like one of those amazing Edinburghs where they were in the same room as Catherine Tate. You know, it was their show and then Catherine Tate's. Both doing absolutely brilliant. They had one of those Edinburghs where everybody comes and tells you you're amazing and Pam Ayres turns up, you know, that sort of level of
dream.
The dream, you know.
Just close your career after one of those Edinburghs.
Pam Ayres Rodriguez. And and football joke there. And one of those. And then, you know, it strode on, got commissioned by BBC Three, who then gave so many notes, in my opinion, that it just spoiled the whole thing.
I think you must be lying here, Charlie. It's the only explanation because I've never heard of execs at any TV corporation giving so many notes that they destroy a comedy enterprise. It's just never happened. So sorry, mate, we won't really have lies on the show.
So they made it and it was good, but not quite what they wanted to make. And then second series didn't happen. And then...
But can I just say...
It's difficult, right, so isn't it? But it's difficult.
This comes into my theory that you've got to be a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
And your wife is not a fucking asshole.
I agree.
If you want to make your first thing, you know, there's so many, many people who we could all name, but we won't, who are known for being prickly and tricky and difficult. And my God, when you've got five producers, and I've seen it happen, exec producers who've never done an Edinburgh, who don't have any comedy experience at all. They've not done 15 years of stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
They don't know what a live audience wants. Who say things like, I think someone from another planet should come into this scene. I think an alien would be quite funny here.
Yeah.
And they don't. And unless you're an arsehole and you push back, what your guys would have done there is to go, okay, cool. Yeah, and that's the end.
Well, it started off, the show was called Live Girls Sketch Show in Edinburgh. Yeah. And it was a brilliant sketch show of all these characters. And then it got pushed towards being a sitcom. A narrative sitcom, and it was like this was a sketch. show, but I'm so proud of what she does. I think she's brilliant in it, and it's on DVD, and you can't buy the DVD anywhere. So we basically went onto Amazon and bought I think we bought about 20 copies of it because it's about £1.84
or something. £4.99.
Yeah,
so actually,
exactly. So, bad, yeah. But it still exists, and we're like, okay, well, we'll, you know, if you make something in this industry and it's out there, and you've got a bit of. You're leaving something, aren't you? You did that because it's so easy just for it to be transitory, and you've like gigs are so transitory, and yeah. Everything's so, you know, you could have a 30-year career as a comic, and no one would ever see anything of it, you know. So
yeah.
And then of course, what happened then was she had a baby and her comedy partner had a baby, and it just sort of fizzled out, and then they never tried to come back because they didn't want to feel like they were trying to come back and be their younger selves. They're all still friends. But so I think, yeah, I think it, that.
So what you're saying is it's kind of your fault as the impregnator in this story. you sort of impregnated your wife's career to death. Oh, that's a lovely story.
What a lovely
Charlie.
Story. I've really dragged it down. I've said, I really fancy Carly Simon and I've killed my wife's career. But other than that, Tom, I'm, you know, no, it's interesting. I think it's so difficult for women to have a long comedy career if they want a family.
Yeah.
I think it's very, very difficult for people.
I know. And I've seen it myself with my wife going out of working in TV, taking, you know, a couple of years out for babies. And it's just so very, very hard to get back in, to get back into the swing of things. And also an element of it, certainly with Beth, my wife, was that it sort of gave her a context on her career. Mm. You know, when she's had a kid, you go back to it and go, actually, do I really want to do this?
Yeah.
So there is an element of that, but that doesn't play as much as the fact that people are just, you just get overtaken in that year that you take
out. There's someone else, man.
And it's fucking brutal.
But also you'll have been the hot thing for half an hour at one point, you know, and had everything everything chucked at you, you know, and I was the hot thing for half an hour and had everything chucked at me and nothing stuck. But you look back and you think, oh, well, stuff did stick. I
mean, some rumors did stick.
And you're still going, you know, but you do go, oh, was that my fault? And you go, no, that wasn't your fault. It's just that time passed.
Mate, I'm having a full Goodwill Hunting career moment. You know, that, it's not your fault.
That time passed and it's not your fault. And you can speak to a lot of people and you go, and I'm going to say Rob Rouse will have had, you know, loads of, so I talked to him about it a lot, you know, and it's quite, you know, it's not hard to deal with because you have to go, it's show business. It doesn't matter. Yeah. But you go, did I blow it? And you go, no, you didn't blow it. And you weren't a prick. So actually, And you're still working, so that's fine. The only person who I've seen in any sort of power who's got there and has kept it and is not a prick, it just works in a very collaborative way and makes everybody feel involved. And I've worked...
Boris Johnson.
Is Harry Hill. So I've worked a lot with Harry, and he does it through, no, I'm in charge, but he does it in such a nice way, in such a artistic, creative... make everyone feel good about themselves. Like if someone brings on three props, you know, and they're all obviously wrong, he will make you see why all those props are wrong. Yeah. Not in a, these props are wrong sort of way, but in a sort of using all the props and showing you why it's not as funny or whatever. And then they'll go and bring back exactly the right prop. So he's sort of teaching people rather than telling people.
He is so loved by everyone who's worked with him, Harry Hill.
Exactly.
So what have you done with Harry Hill?
So I did his musical at the Palladium. I Can't Sing, which was absolutely amazing.
That was an amazing
experience.
The talent show takeoff.
It was sort of it was X Factor, the musical bit, basically. And Simon Cowell was involved and everyone. And it was an amazing few months, really, really amazing. But that massively flopped. Well, it didn't flop, it just shut because Simon Cowell didn't want it to run anymore. So it didn't flop and it was really good. It was really, really good. The lead woman in it, Cynthia Erivo, she's now super super LA and super sort of super Hollywood.
Was up for an
Oscar.
Christ.
Right. And all these things. But just as she was sort of getting there in that, I started doing a cabaret night in Victoria at what used to be the St. James and is now the other place or something. Anyway, it was like comics and dancers and singers and real sort of cabaret old school feel to it. I said, oh, would you come and do, I sort of messaged her, would you come and do a couple of songs, you know, 100 quid, couple of songs. And she went, I said, when is it? And I went, oh, it's there. And she went, oh, I can't. I'm singing at the Grammys with John Legend that night. And I went, oh, right, okay, yeah, sure. No problem.
Well, what time do you finish?
You could double that. You can double that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We could go on a bit. We could have a long interval and then get you on after.
We like to listen to Toast, and we're not the kind who would boast. And even in spite of the host, we still like to listen to Toast. La, la, la,
what I do like is we've started there talking about my wife's career, and I've really moved it on to my career and another male comedian.
It's like Carly Simon to Joni Mitchell all over again. I want to talk to you about it. So my question is, I want to talk, how do you keep that energy and that bravery and that artistic kind of determination, even when you were the hot thing and you're not anymore, right? That's my question. But I'm going to talk to you about an item, and I want you to massage in an answer to that question in the item. Does that make sense?
Okay, yeah, sure.
So that way we're still sticking to the format.
Lovely. But we can also continue this mutual therapy session.
That's what it becomes every week. The best episodes, it's either circle jerk or therapy. All right. So I'm just going to come up with a random item, and then you can somehow. It's an improv game.
I like that. 17th
of May, 2013 now. Mm. All right, Charlie Baker. Mm-hmm. 17th of May. We've got lovely to see here. A Thermos Planet mug, 0.4 litres. Tell us about the Thermos mug. Is it your favourite mug?
The Thermos Planet mug. Those sorts of mugs are so... When you're a road comic going back to be... And I say going back, like I've always been a road comic, but when you are hitting a bit and you're the chosen one for a bit, like we were discussing.
Yes.
And you get off the road a bit.
Yeah.
You get off the road, you start doing other bits of telly. You financially, you don't need to do as much on the road as you did before. Mm-hmm. You're getting other stuff thrown at you, other jobs, other ideas. So you get off the road a bit. And then in 2013, when the heat had sort of stopped a bit, really. Although I did do my best ever Edinburgh show in 2013.
Isn't that always the way?
Yeah, because I went, I had that healthy sense of, right, fuck it, I just do what I want to do.
Yes.
But that mug will have been a symbol of me getting back on the road. And that is the way I think comics, certainly the way I deal with rejection or not being in the room or on the lists anymore is, I'm always a comedian. I've always got the road. I've always got rooms full of strangers who I know I can turn up. And 99% of the time, I can make a room full of strangers laugh their ass off. Yeah.
And also, can I just point out, this is the most perfect item, right? Are you ready for this? Mm? This metaphor is about to absolutely blow your tits off. Hold on to your tits. Ready? Here it comes. Because you stay hot if you keep it in a thermos mug.
This is the thing. The thing, but you don't want it too hot. You want to be warm. That's one thing I've learned as well. Just be warm. Be warm. You know, just stay warm, and then you'll stay working. And the thing is, what are your options? To stop telling jokes or to keep telling jokes? And if you stop telling jokes, you'll go mad. So, and also, what a privilege to be able to tell jokes for a living and go out and do it. So, that is the job in my. When people go, I want to be a comedian. I always say, well, I hope you like driving because. Or I hope you like trains, because that is the job if you're a comic. It's not being on Live at the Apollo and being Mickey Flanagan and going, although he did his fair share of all that, you know. Or
he really did,
It's not just going bang out, you know. 95% of comics just are driving around, you know, this Tom, driving around the country, making strangers laugh. And that is the job. And also, but that is also our blanket. And that is also what I've always held higher than anything else I've ever done, is that thing of, I've got that. And it makes you feel comfortable. It makes you feel strong in any situation. And so when it is all crumbling around and you go, right, I'll go and do some gigs, and you always feel better. It's like when you go for a run, you always feel better after a run than when you don't go for a run, you know, mentally. And so doing the gigs is well, I've got that. It's my safety blanket. And also you can walk into any situation, any media situation. Like I work on TalkSport at the moment and I absolutely love it. And I'm always in the back of my mind, you're a comedian. If they sack you tomorrow, you go back on the road. Although the road doesn't exist at the moment, it will again. And you go, and that's what I hold over being an actor or being anything else in this industry is we've always got, it's like being a plumber. You've always got the road. And that's what that mug will signify to me is you're getting back on the road, buy yourself a nice mug and fill yourself up again.
You've absolutely smashed this out of the park. I set you a task. It's like I set you an essay question and then gave you a random item. It's brilliant. All right. Okay, good. Charlie, let's move on now. Yeah. 2014 here. I'm gonna brush over a few bits because we've done a lot of time already.
Sure.
I don't want to run out of time.
I feel like I've wanged on.
No, it's been glorious. I mean, podcasts should be called Wanging On, so that's fine. That is the point of this thing. You've got some comedy. You've also bought Citizen Khan. You've got...
That would be because my wife was in it.
Oops. Very nice. Was she a regular in it?
No. She did an episode.
Oh. All right, fine.
And okay, so for your showreel, you buy the episode, don't you?
Of course, and then send it back once you've ripped it. Good. Well done there. We've got films. Muppets Most Wanted with Ricky Gervais.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. I think this is when it starts coming up on you, when you've got kids and you're at home and they've seen everything that's on CBBC.
I'm definitely seeing evidence of kids here for sure. Lego Marvel Superheroes on the Xbox 360.
Lovely,
Here's a good one. 22-inch cast iron fireball fire pit heater.
Okay, that was a birthday present. Yeah, don't you love have you got a fireball, Tom? I just love sitting outside. We've got a courtyard. We haven't got a garden, but we sit out.
Whereabouts are you in the country?
In Oxfordshire, South Oxfordshire, by the Thames.
Surely that means you've got endless fields nearby.
I tell you where I live, Causton, which isn't called Causton, but in Midsummer Murders, it is called Causton where we live.
Oh my God.
We live in Midsummer Murders.
Oh my God. I was in an episode of Midsummer Murders and it's still the greatest job of my life.
The dream. I'd absolutely love to be in Midsummer Murders.
Well, you know what they call it for the royalties? It's called the Midsummer Mortgage.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah.
Well, it's not really come in actually. I think they might have changed. They might have fiddled the contracts. All my episode was absolute dog shit.
I did one line in Miranda once and I still twice a year will get £400 or £500, right?
Yeah,
and I go, what does Miranda get?
I know. If you extrapolate, well, mate, a couple of years ago, I was in Torchwood years ago, and they replayed it on BBC America, and I got £2,000, right?
Yeah,
which for me is like, I'm in. That is what I am. So, and there's always the moment where you look at the money, and you think, fucking incredible, and then you pause, and then you think, what did John Barrowman?
Yeah. This is the thing. What did David Jason get for Only Fools and Horses?
Oh, can you imagine? This is the danger of royalties. Well, don't think about royalties. This is why we need to go and sit outside around a fire.
Well, I love that. It links up to everything. That sort of folky Joni Mitchell, James Taylor feel, the tent, the sitting outside thermos mug, all these things just nothing I like more than being outside with a fire on, having a chat with my wife about how badly my career could have gone, but hasn't gone because she saved my life basically. And so she keeps me straight. So that is what that sort of fire
pit represents.
Let's have some of that,
please. Let's have some of the why she saved your life, please. Let's do a bit of that. Come on.
Well, she just listens to me, Tom.
Sorry, mate, what does she do? I didn't quite... There you go.
She just listens to me and puts up with it and is a calm presence. There's a James Taylor song that is, I feel fine anytime she's around me now. She's around me now almost all the time. And if I'm well, you can tell that she's been with me now. She's been with me quite a long, long time and I feel fine. And you go... I'm so lucky to have met this woman I met her when I was 16 and we didn't get together for a while, but we were always friends. And I'm so lucky to have met this woman who has the biggest emotional intelligence of anyone I've ever met. And she absolutely loves me. And she has such an amazing way of showing it. And she, I know she has it with her friend. I see her with her friends and her friends adore her and she looks after her friends. And this is someone who doesn't need caring for herself. She had a few things, you know, in her life, but she's so emotionally wise and open and loving. And she just calms me down. She just keeps me calm and positive. And to have met her is the biggest privilege and joy of my life.
Amazing. Well, that's so nice to hear.
And it's really so nice being married to someone who you really like. That is the key, you know?
But hang on. What do you do when you're doing stand-up? Because if you can't complain about your other half at stand-up, that means you've got nothing.
But then you have to make yourself a victim. You know, that's the thing I think with stand-up. You know, you go, no, I don't, I never complain about it because, you know, she's, anyway. I've gone on a bit there, you know.
No, you haven't. I requested.
It's good
the
to be, and you don't need to, you know. And we've been married 18 years this year, and it's being married's an odd thing to do. You look back on that now and go, God, that was an odd thing. It's an odd state to get yourself in. You know, you sort of following that path, and you go, oh, we didn't actually need to do that, but we have. And but you've got to get on, haven't you?
Got to get on, mate. Got to get on with, do the good things.
But you got to get on with each other.
Oh, got to get. I thought you said got to get on.
Can't imagine being married to someone I don't like or can't talk to. Or
no, I can't either. It's and you see people who are, and you're just like, why are you doing this?
I know. Yeah, God, yeah, oh God. So many times I think, oh, don't get married, or it's nothing nicer when you than meeting people like that and going, well, they don't like each other.
Listen, nothing more fun than going to a wedding.
Oh, that won't last. Weddings.
I love a that won't last wedding.
Nothing better than a that won't last.
Also, when you've got the co-conspirators, there's only a handful of you who all know. Yeah. And you meet up in the corner at the end. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you might get a wedding photographer who roams around taking pictures of the wedding, and you'll see them afterwards on Facebook, and you're like, and you'll see yourself talking in the background. You're like, I was fucking bitching about the couple during that photo.
It's a pay bar. It's a pay bar.
I've got this lovely shot of you. Yeah, I was complaining about how miserly you are.
Yes.
My matey bought a toaster.
Listen, here's a great one. Yeah. Talking of outdoors, one of my favourite pastimes. Golf is not a game of perfect. This is on November 2014. No Limits, My Autobiography by Ian Poulter.
Uh-huh.
And Dream On, One Hacker's Challenge to Break Par in a Year by John Richardson. Talk to me about golf, please.
Oh, I love golf. I love golf, Tom. And not just because I love playing. My granddad played golf up until he was in his mid-90s and was pretty good, had two hole-in-ones.
Very good.
But played most of his life. And I look back now and I go, oh, I don't think you ever actually had a job. I think he was a chauffeur for a bit, and he had an ice cream van, but that's about as much as we get. And then, but my nan worked her ass off. She had a talky guest house, so I think she did most of the work, and my dad played golf. My granddad,
hang on. Your nan ran a guest house in Torquay.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, right. Okay. I mean, you're getting Fawlty Towers on me.
Well,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sorry.
So I never link the two. The thing is, I never link the two up because I like Fawlty Towers and it's obviously brilliant. But because when you're from, although it's exciting when you're from Devon to hear the words Devon or Torquay or somewhere you're from, because it's never mentioned, you know, on the telly, I never really linked the two up, you know. So,
but
she had a sort of 8-bedroom guest house. Right. In Torquay, most famous person who ever stayed was Giles Brandreth, Tom.
Affable Tory, massive Brexiteer, but there you are.
And we used to get free tickets to, because if she put a poster up, they'd give her a couple of free tickets. So we used to get free tickets to the Crankies and the Grumbleweeds. I mean, are you seeing where my comedy comes from here?
Yeah, this is how you learn your craft. Yeah. Forget Harry Hill. Go back to the Crankies. Yeah.
So, but he, and I think my granddad played golf the whole time. So golf was always in the house, always putting when we went around his house always that sort of thing. But since then, me and my brother and my dad all always go on golf trips and go to the Ryder Cup. But none of us are particularly good. I am all right, but not particularly good. But Golf Is Not a Game of Perfect is the best golf book.
Oh yeah, go on. Why? By
a mile. It is absolutely brilliant. And if you just change all the way through it, the word golf for life, It will save your life, Tom.
I'm absolutely in. I'm writing this down.
It is honestly the best golf book.
Yeah.
It is absolutely brilliant. But also, I don't know if you've ever read the Murakami book, What I Talk About When I Talk About Running. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I haven't read that. No, I'm a big runner. So yeah. Okay.
But that golf book, even if you don't like golf, just read it and cross out golf and put life. And life is not a game of perfect is a great way to look at it, because everyone tries to live their life like it is.
It's so good. Do you know what? One of the weirdest breakthroughs for my golf, this is going to sound absolutely demented, was when I was about 23, 24 years old, because I've always played. I started when I was 13.
Yeah.
And I got to 23, 24, and I read, this is going to sound mad, okay? Uh-huh. I'm really going to give that a big run up here. There needs a lot of love for that. I read The God Delusion by Richard Dawkins.
Okay.
Okay. Come, stay with me. And I realized that there is no kind of otherly power having any impact or care about my game of golf. Because up until that point, this is a weird psychological trauma. Mm-hmm. I honestly believed when I was playing golf that there was some kind of external forces making my life harder and punishing me, right? Okay, this sounds crazy. But this was the mind of my teenage years that sort of went into my 20s.
Okay.
And I honestly had this kind of almost superstitious, riddled with superstitions around my golf, almost, I guess, OCD. And then when I dropped that, and realized that there was nothing. It was meaningless. Not meaningless, but there was no connection with otherly forces. And suddenly, I dropped so many shots at golf. And I think it's weird.
You let it go.
But then that went on into my life. It started with golf, but then I did that across my life and let go of everything and just enjoyed myself. And the ride began, you know?
Yeah, I think what that is, you matured, Tom, basically, didn't you?
I should have just said the word matured.
You started to take control of your own actions and not blame them on anybody else.
That's it, mate. That's it, Charlie. Exactly. Okay, golf chat over. Let's move on.
Yeah,
come on,
okay,
we're running out of
moving
time.
On.
All right, so what I'm going to do, Charlie, I'm just going to rattle through some of your lockdown purchases. And what I'd like you to do, if there's something that really leaps out and has got a good story, if you can just shout, stop, and we can jump in, all right? So 12th
of
March.
But I think it'll all be really connected, I think.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, I can see that you're setting up a home studio. See, if you bought this stuff before, I'd be like, this guy is about to start shooting porn, something weird's going on. But during lockdown, it's acceptable. So you've gone for the backdrop screens.
You've
got a blue and green screen. Also, 8th of March, the tripod with hand grip for compact system cameras. And also on the 8th of March, you've got the LED video light for DSLR camera camcorders. So you've got lights, cameras, and action.
Yeah.
And also, you have spent £24 on 72 rolls of toilet paper. You're making porn.
We're not making porn. We're preparing for lockdown, Tom. I was ahead of the game.
You were a bog roll COVIDiot. 6th of March 2020, I've got the proof.
I was ahead of the game going, do you know what? Do you know what? They're going to shut my industry down. I need to be able to do
something
it from
to
home.
Weep into.
I've got to cry. There's a lot of crying going on, but no time for sitting on my own. Yes, so just loads of home studio equipment. I think you'll get in a minute. Do I sound crisp and clear? Crisp audio.
Sounding great there. Are you on
I think you'll find in the Aston microphone. I don't know if I've bought that on
Are those
Amazon
the
or not.
Microphones of tomorrow?
Tomorrow's our microphone. Aston.
Can I just ask you a quick question? Very quickly, 5th of February, pre-lockdown, the Wilson Jet eye protective glasses. Why?
Yes, I'm playing squash, Tom.
Okay.
I've taken squash up again.
You're such an executive from the 80s.
It's such a it's such a heart attack waiting to happen, aren't I?
Yeah.
It's really, so I play squash with my friend Duncan. I've been playing for a year and a half and it is so brilliant.
It's an exhausting
game.
It's
such a absolutely exhausting, brilliant game. But also he wears glasses and I got one on the forehead.
Yeah.
And someone once told me, if a squash ball hits you in the eye, your eye will explode, right?
Why did you go a little bit more West Country? You will explode.
It will explode and you will get that and your eye will explode. Because I think it was because my brother got a cricket ball in the eye and of course a cricket ball will hit just the outer of your eye, whereas a squash ball would go right in your eye.
Oh.
So anyway, I bought those glasses. I wore them once. I lost 9-2, 9-4. Never I've again. I've never worn them ever again.
Happy to sacrifice my sight to win squash. Absolutely fine. Nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah.
Okay, good. 13th of March. Yeah, look, the Aston Origin Black Bundle. 259.
Yeah, well, I spent out. I thought it's one, you know, one session, isn't it? You know, yeah. And I've used it an awful lot. Yeah, and it's a great microphone, Tom. I can really recommend it.
It's a great microphone,
it's
guys.
It's a great microphone.
Oh, that's right. You went into X. That's Radio X.
This is Radio X. This is Radio X.
You sound
Radio
quite...
X.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Oh.
Sport. Johnny Vaughan on Radio X. Oasis.
I much prefer that to the Absolute. Absolute Radio.
Absolute Radio. Is that how that sums me up? That's, well, he, how much, talking about money, how much money does he make? Gee whiz.
Oh, let's not get into that.
I mean, let's not get into that.
Okay, so, Vitlin, the natural choice, complete dry adult dog food. You're getting that regularly.
Tom,
regularly.
That's on a monthly subscription.
My wife
actually said, will Tom be asking about the dog food? yes, it's our dog is a Red Fox Labrador.
Oh.
We bought him from the Queen's cousin.
You are kidding me.
No, we didn't mean to, but we, you know when you normally turn up at some
a pub car park
or like some smelly old woman's back room, you know.
Yeah.
We turned up and they had Gates stag running around. We were like, what is this? What? Where on earth is this? So we turned up at Lord Mountbatten's house and we bought Bruce, our Red Fox Labrador, and he basically shat himself for a year. And we were like, what is this? We've bought a posh dog, supposed to be a posh gun dog. Anyway, my dad went, oh, you should use this. Bought us that. Because he went to like the Mole Valley Farmers sort of farm shop. And they went, oh yeah, use this. And he's basically, like me, he's gluten free.
Oh, so is that right?
That's what it is, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's what the vibe. But
he's like his daddy.
He's like his dad.
Sweet. That's sweet. He's mind you, I say this to both you and your dog. That's what inbreeding will bring you, the gluten intolerance. Clearly,
he's very pure breed. He's got a very long line. Very long line.
They like to show you the line when you buy the dog.
Oh, they love that. They
like to show
you
fucking. Yeah, I'm just like, mate, this is not who do you think you are. Just give me the dog. All right, look, here we go. This is another great one mid lockdown, May, 22nd of May 2020. Everyone's in lockdown. You know, at this stage, I was going on runs around London. All the flats are closed.
Sure.
There's a debate. Are we allowed in the park? What's Charlie Baker bought? The Intex Explorer 2-person kayak.
Yeah, well, I live right on the river and we'd never, and I'd always wanted to kayak up the river, and I thought, well, lockdown is the perfect time.
Great way to commute.
And so those inflatable kayaks have changed the kayak game, Tom.
Yeah.
They've really changed the game.
Take me through it. Why?
Because you don't have to, it's not like a massive thing anymore. Mm. It folds down into a small bag, doesn't it?
Right.
You know, whereas before you'd have to have a big plastic kayak or Canadian canoe in your back garden or in your shed. That
does your garden actually
nicked.
Back out onto the water?
No. We're about 100 foot from it.
All right, okay. Well, a bit of climate change, mate. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, on its way. So I've always wanted an inflatable canoe. And I was like, I'm not sure about it.
Yeah.
Jumped for it. I thought I'll send it back if it's no good. It's really good.
How far do you go in it?
About a mile up and a mile back.
Seriously,
just float along. You see the river from a whole new angle. You know, it's and I've taken my daughter in it in her life jacket, and my son comes in it, doesn't paddle, just lets me paddle, and
classic
he sort of lies down. Not got my wife in it yet, it's a lovely. I think I got very outdoorsy during lockdown.
Yeah, but you already were, though. Surely you already were.
More outdoorsy.
Oh, you're looking at a fishing rod. There we go.
Yeah, I've started fishing, Tom.
You're getting ready to live off the land.
Yeah, I tell you what, I've found fishing, and it's the thing I think is the most addictive thing I've ever done.
Fishing appeals to a similar part of the brain. It's like as golf. It's like golf without the bigotry.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And it's not about the fishing. It's about just sitting by the river on your own for a bit. Yeah. It's not really about the fishing. It's just about that time.
So what you're saying is you just get a rod, put the rod next to you. Don't even bother putting a hook on it.
Thing is, you imagine you could do that, because imagine if you didn't have the rod, if you just sat by the river for 4 or 5 hours, just a weirdo sat by the river on your own, on a chair,
mate. Gaza,
no rod.
Gaza would end up with some chicken arriving to help you out if you did that. You've got to have a rod.
It's like going for a walk without a dog. As a single man, you do look a bit weird.
Yes. Well, this is what when my father-in-law comes, in the olden days before lockdown, he'd come and help with the kids. And he'd end up looking after the dog outside the playground, because if we tie the dog up at the playground, the dog barks. So my father-in-law stands there with a dog and sunglasses on, right, looking at the playground. And I'm like, you can't stand here.
Don't do that. No, do not do that. No. No, yeah. So, yeah, but fishing's great, Tom. I'm really... And also... By living by the river. I'm not very good at it. That's the thing. I'm really rubbish at it. So I feel like I'm learning a new skill. I'm trying to do things that I've always wanted to do on lockdown. Yeah. So I don't come out of it going, well, you had all that chance to do stuff and you didn't do any of it.
Yeah.
You know, so
this time and space that we've got. 2020 has given us so much bad stuff, but it has given us this time and space. You know what we should do though? You and I should go fishing together and maybe make it into a BBC Two sort of documentary.
I mean, that program is absolutely brilliant. They came onto my Talk Sports show as well.
Did they?
Bob and Paul. And I'd only ever met Bob. Bob and Vic were my growing up were my absolute heroes.
Yeah, apart from the crankies.
I'd only ever met Bob before on a show, and I wasn't particularly good on the show. Didn't make him laugh. Was like really trying hard, sort of cringe at thinking about it. You know, like, oh God, the amount of effort I tried to make Bob Mortimer laugh. Absolutely. And then he came on the Talk Sports show, and I made him laugh within about 30 seconds.
Oh, lovely.
And I was like, it felt like a, and then he was so nice, and Paul Whitehouse was as well. Yeah. And they were so nice and so interested, and signed, he's the only person I'd ever get to sign a book. And that, so just to have that second chance of meeting him and on level playing field as well. Yes. And not just like as a fan.
No, exactly. So, well, I had the exact opposite. I bumped into Paul Whitehouse near me, right? Because I think he lives quite near me. And I just watched the first series and we were queuing together, right? He was waiting for something. And I said, listen, Paul, sorry to interrupt you. I can see you're busy. I just want to say I love the show. Oh, thanks, mate. I said, you know, it was so lovely. And all the stuff about your health and diet was really nice. And I said, anyway, what are you having? And he said, I'm getting two sausage rolls. We were in a Greg's. So he really, you know, he really practices really what he preaches.
Really looking after himself there.
Really good. Well done, Paul.
Two sausage rolls. That program, though, is what you know, there you go. If we're talking about telly, if you'd have pitched that, it's going to be them talking about their health and fishing. It would have gone, could we put a robot in it? Yeah. Could a robot be with them?
That's it. Exactly. You know. What we need to do is get the next series. You need to just go along in your kayak and just drift past.
Hi,
guys.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I've not been fishing in the kayak because it's inflatable.
Right.
That's
not a good combo.
A sketch waiting to happen.
Listen, final item. All right.
Yes.
This was delivered on the 27th of July. And this is so dreamy, Charlie, because sometimes these episodes go full circle. And it's as if a scriptwriter has done it for me.
Imagine it.
A Vango Banshee 200 Pro backpacking tent. We started with a tent. We finished with a tent.
I love cycling as well. I think the whole outdoors thing has been like, am I just trying to escape?
Your family,
not my family, but a bit my family during lockdown. But the whole of lockdown, I think my thought was get outside. And I love cycling and I like cycling somewhere, staying there and then cycling back.
Yeah.
And I've looked into cycle camping, which is where you put everything on your bike. Because if you do long distance cycling, it's the most you feel like a cowboy or like going, you know, you go such long distances.
The Wild West, a frontiersman.
It feels like that. So there's a bit, so I've bought loads of cycle camping stuff that you can put. So it's all very light and it all goes on your bike.
Yeah.
And the plan is to cycle to Paris eventually, but I think I like making plans and that makes my brain relax. Just the thought of, all right, you can make those plans and you can escape if you want to, you know? So yeah, the Vango is your Banshee two man tent it's not the lightest tent, two man tent you can get, Tom, by a long way. And I did a lot of research on it.
I bet you did.
It's light enough. You can get it down into small bags to go on your bike and it's very waterproof. It's your Duke of Edinburgh Award recommended two-man tent.
That's all I need, mate. So you're having a grown-up Duke of Edinburgh Award, a.k.a. midlife crisis. And it's
exactly.
lovely to
it's
see.
It's not a midlife crisis.
No, it's
it
not.
Really,
it really is.
It really might be, yeah. It really might be.
Also, what I love is that you're buying and collating this sort of, basically, an escape package. Very much like if you know, imagine you and your family are on a plane together and you're just the guy, just very quietly in the corner, getting the oxygen mask, putting on the backpack, getting ready to jump out the plane.
You know when they say put it on you before they put it on your child?
Yeah.
It's basically that.
Getting ready to live off the land. Listen, Charlie, it's an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for doing My Mate Bought a Toaster. We've learned so much about you, man. We've been on this, you know, it's been intense. That's obviously an amazing joke. But, you know, you are...
I'm pleased you didn't bring up the posh bin my wife just bought, because that really would have turned off my... You know, some of my fans.
Yeah, of course. What, you're more earthy, down to earth, working class fans. Yeah, of course.
She bought this bin, and I was like, "That's a lot of money to spend on a bin."
Yeah,
and she said, "We haven't bought a new bin in 15 years."
So you spent £114. You've gone for the Joseph Totem
bring
Max 60-liter waste separation and recycling bin. I mean, for £114, I'd want the bin to turn the rubbish back into usable goods, please.
It's a very good bin. It's a very good bin. And Joseph is a great company and also. What happens in Brighton in the nativities.
What? Say that again. What happens in Brighton? Oh, I love it.
We've ended on a joke, which I don't know if it works or not, but...
Yeah, we'll keep it in because it's your joke, not mine.
I'm out of... My wife's waving at the window.
Oh, she probably wants you to get on with your day.
Get on with it.
I'm going to let you go. Charlie, you've got your show on TalkSport, haven't you? Or Talk Radio?
Yeah, TalkSport. TalkSport. I'm not right wing racist.
You're not Mark Dolan.
I don't cut up face masks. No, we do the warm up 9 till 11 on a Saturday morning on Talk Sport, and I sit in now and again in the afternoons for Hawksby and Jacobs. Yeah.
Dreamy. Thank you for joining me, Charlie. Love you to talk to you.
Tom, so my thank you. Tom.
go again there, love.
Tom, yeah. Can we go again, dear? Thank you so much. Because I had to say something sincere. thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Isn't he just fantastic? The bundle of energy and enthusiasm and love and comedic wonder that is Charlie Baker. I really, really like that guy. I hope you enjoyed that episode. That is it. That's us for another week. We'll be back soon with more of this utter nonsense. Have a good week. Bye. It's the same always. I love the pretty baby and I want you for the rest of my day. GreatBigOwl.com Hello, I'm Justin.
And I'm Lucy.
And together we are the hosts of Plenty Questions.
It's a very straightforward general knowledge quiz.
We ask you 20 questions, one after the other, 5 second gap in between, and you shout the answers out.
And then you tweet us to let us know how you've got on.
See if you can get 20 out of 20. No one has so far, but that's because we haven't started doing it yet.
But we will. And there's also going to be some fiendish brain teasers, so join us for Plenty Questions.